everyone, and welcome to another edition of ARG Presents. Happy Halloween, everyone!
Happy Halloween! Woo!
It is I, Zorro, a.k.a. Amigo Aaron, joined by the man... Explain yourself, the brand.
I can't believe you didn't know this, Aaron. This person has been a part of your history for as long as I can remember. Since the, early 80s, maybe even late 70s?
Keep going.
No?
No, I'm not getting it.
Let's see. Popular entertainer, movies, music, television?
Nope, I still don't get it.
I'm obviously dressed as Weird Al and his interpretation of Lady Gaga.
Huh. Well, you've got the weird part down. I'm not sure how much you've gotten the lady part down. You know, that needs work.
Remember his song Performed This Way?
You know, if you have to explain the joke, it's not a good joke, brother.
Not a joke. This is perfect.
In fact, if I was going to describe you, it would be not a good joke. That's a good description for you, the brand.
Aw, you're so mean.
Happy Halloween, everybody. Welcome to a Halloween edition of ARG Presents. We have a fun show in store. And last week, of course, we spun that wheel, Brent. We made the deal.
Yes.
And this week, how appropriate that, bam, it's Laserdisc week. Arcade Laserdisc games. We're going to go another round of Laserdiscs, Brent. Now, we actually have stumbled into this category a few times on the show.
Unfortunately, yep.
Well, I believe
it keeps coming back.
Let's see if we can recall the games that we covered, the brand. I know we covered Mach 3. I believe we covered Esch's Amarella was one that we covered. There aren't a ton of Laserdisc games. There's just enough to where you can go back to it occasionally.
The hologram game.
The hologram game.
Time something.
Yeah. So
time travelers.
When it comes to Laserdisc games, which do you prefer? The big animated, like Dragon's Lair style, like use joystick to guess the next move, or do you like the ones where they lay the graphics over top of the animation, or somewhere in between?
You know, I've had a long thought about this, and
you really have?
Yes. Yeah, I've put a lot of thought into
you need to get more going on into life.
I prepare and I think for these shows.
I can't believe that.
So, let me preface this by saying, I appreciate the art, Don Bluth art style, right? I love his art and the games that were produced, the Dragon's Lairs, the Space Aces, etc., are all fantastic. To experience, you can watch them like movies. They're awesome. However, as games, they are absolute crap. To the point that I can no longer consider them games. They are interactive experiences.
What about the ones where you like a Mach 3, for example, where you control a graphic laid over top of
those motion? Those are crap for a whole different reason.
I didn't ask if they were crap. I asked them, do you consider those
games?
Yes,
those are games. Yeah, those are games. Those are bad games, but they are games.
You ever play that thing Simon? You know, that's got the four different colors and they light up and beep. Do you consider that a game? The answer is yes.
Yeah. Yes,
and the answer is Laserdisc games are games too. That's
no,
the same
they're
thing.
Not. No, yeah. no, that's completely wrong.
I'm going to disagree with you.
Here's the thing, Aaron. Can you? Well, we'll get into that. Well, let's hold that thought until we go over my game this week.
So yeah,
I am now very interested in your opinion on all this. But that will be game number two. They'll have to wait for that one.
Yeah, I can't wait for you to unveil this one, because the Brent decided not to tell anyone when he was playing this week except me. So which was a good move. That way the ridicule can be kept to a minimum. But so if we're gonna roll on, brother, let's just roll on to the games, and I'll go ahead and lead the dance this week, the Brent. You know, I'm a big fan of Laserdisc games, and there's one that I always wanted to play but never saw in the arcade, And so I ultimately had to get interested in it through emulation. And it was from the same outfit that was responsible for Mach 3. And we're going to get into it right now. Bam. It's us versus them. We hate them, but we love us. This this is a latest
us
game.
Is okay.
Yeah, we're, I mean, it's, hey, listen, it's awesome. Published by Milestar Electronics. I think it's the way you pronounce that, Milestar. And this was a game that was released. Actually, I saw two different release dates on this, the Brent, which is odd. One was June of 84, and one was September of 84. So take your pick. Maybe it was July or August. You never know. This was programmed by Warren Davis, if the name is familiar to you. He was the man responsible for Qbert, brother. Qbert. Yeah. So you know he knows what he's doing when he puts a game together. One would think. Again, this was published by Milestar. They were responsible for, among other things, Mach 3 and Qbert Cubes, Screw Loose, Touchdown, and Ready, Aim, Fire. So clearly, a laundry list of solid gold. I mean, Qbert Cubes isn't bad. You got to give him that one.
Yeah.
So, what is us versus them? Well, guess what? It's a laser game. Duh. So you know what you're getting here, sorta.
No, you don't.
What's here's the way I would put us versus them together. If you've played Mach 3, you've seen the old overlay graphics on a video background, right? This is a tried and true
Viva
tradition.
La Raza.
That's right. This is a tried and true tradition when it comes to these old laserdisc games. So if you can do that, why not make it more awesome than Mach 3? Mach 3, you had two different types of games. You had a game where you went overhead with the fighter, and then you had a game where you were behind the fighter. So there were two different game modes, right? We could agree on that. Us versus them was like, oh, yeah? We're going to mix all the game modes into one crazy game, plus we're going to add some more crazy game modes, right? So as you play this game, you realize that the Earth is under attack from those pesky aliens. You know how those guys are. And they're at it again. We're big attack. Now, these aliens don't get much love in this. You don't really see any motherships, any of that jive.
Well, you fly in a mothership.
Or, I mean, you don't see like who the people look like, the armadas.
No, you never
see
an alien.
Yeah. We'll get into what you do get. So officially, here is the flavor text on this thing. The Earth is under alien invasion who plan to make the planet their own. However, Air Command's experimental fighter planes are the only thing that stand in the way. This space shooter makes use of low-color menus and sprites, dynamic moving filmed backgrounds, and live action sequences. Boy, does it ever. So, the game starts off in this control room with a bunch of what I would call, let's see, sub-commercial great actors in a control room that me and Britt could construct in the arcade. That's being generous.
I don't think it was that bad.
This makes the old Buck Rogers show look like The Empire Strikes Back. I mean,
it wasn't that bad.
It was low level, and the acting was not. It was right in line with the scenery. Not so good. So you find out you've got a bunch of pilots in the sky and these experimental fighters. Now let me tell you something about this. You have a bunch of fighters. So you've got Mean Green, you've got Sky Blue, Big Red, Quicksilver, Mellow Yellow, White Knight. Okay, these are your different pilots. And each of them features in the game in his own scenario. Sometimes they get doubled up, okay? So when you start the game, you're under alien attack. It's a very simple, it's sort of like a first-person view where you would fight these aliens. Now, let's get into the actual game fighting, okay? When you're actually fighting the aliens in the game, you actually, it's just like I said, they overlay the video and then overlay it with graphics. Fair enough, right? The problem, and I'm going to get to the problems early with this game, because this game had a lot of potential that they blew. The problem is, what they did was, they did the old Psygnosis, like random crap on the screen effect. Unlike a game like Mach 3, for example, where you have clear, concise graphical enemies to fight. In this game, you actually have just kind of random shapes flying around. They're not good looking. They don't fly in a pattern, and you can't really, you can't try to make a bead on them. It'd be like if you played Space Invaders, the Space Invaders just randomly went around the screen in a bizarre way. It makes the game less fun. You also have the ability, excuse me, to shoot an item that will give you extra shield. Your ship has shielding, which is fun. And I will say the thing you shoot looks like a 20-sided dice. It floats around. But this thing is so fast and so random that it's almost, I mean, you can get it sometimes, but it is not easy to pick these things off. The pilots go through different scenarios. The first stage is at a canyon. Then you go through a desert, and it turns into farmland.
Farmland.
And of course, that's an overhead, sort of like the Mach 3 overhead view. Then you go back to the first person with a hilarious scene where Big Red is flying through the woods. And it looks like they shot this at like a Christmas tree farm or something. The woods are tightly compressed. The chance of an experimental fighter getting through these woods, you couldn't push a lawnmower through these woods. And the funny thing is, they've got this hick. Big Red's a hillbilly, and he's going, "Oh, how do I get myself in these situations? I don't know what to do." You know, that kind of crap as he's trying to get out of the woods. Now, this game has detection of the objects that you will hit, allegedly. And much like in all these laser games, the detection is a little wonky.
Yeah.
You might think you dodged the tree, you might not. The your fighter has the ability to roll, which it didn't have in a Mach 3, for example. But rolling does you no favors most of the time, in my estimation. So after you get out of the woods, you also go through another set of canyons. Then your first encounter with the mothership, which is probably the only thing in the game that looks like a thing. You know what I'm saying? It looks like something like a UFO.
Yeah.
Did they cut away from that? And by the way, I'll get to the narrative here in a minute, Briggs. I know you're aching to talk about that. You also go over California City. You also go over, like, they say you're going to Chicago. Who can tell? Maybe you are. Then you've got a sequence over some rivers. Then there's some cliffs. Eventually, at the end of this game, when you get to level 13, you go into you finish off the mothership. Now, the end of this game is interesting. One ship infiltrates the mothership. And inside the mothership is a series of shields that you have to go through. Sort of like, I guess it's kind of like Zaxxon or Escher's Amarilla did something similar, where you have to use your rolling to move your ship to these little narrow areas to get past the force field until you get to a big force field that you have to blow away to expose the core of the mothership. And the funny thing is, you have to literally destroy every conceivable part of the shield, including the tiniest little bits that you can't possibly see unless you turn your ship sideways and try to use your guns to shoot the very edges. Not the best planning on the old shield killing. Now, I would be remiss if I didn't mention the subplot in this. The subplot is the people in the control room who are sending these fighters all over the world. Eventually, a general comes in who takes over all the operations from a subordinate, and he basically is a jerk, and they're all worried about his plan. His plan is to convene all the fighters on the mothership. That seems like a good plan to me, but they all act like it's the worst plan ever. And there are many scenes of horrible acting where the general badmouths the flunky who he says got one of his fighters killed. So there's a lot of that. The acting is, like I said, not so good. And this culminates in a scene where they take the general by gunpoint and tie him to a chair and then make him watch the remainder part of the game as he's tied to the chair. At the very, very end of the game, you find out apparently the general was an alien plant because he beams out of there, which one would wonder why they didn't send more of him. But, you know, I guess the aliens in this are kind of hands off in a lot of ways. What did you think of this? I know you've played this one in the past, but what did you think of the old us versus them?
Well, plot aside, I mean, the plot is just cheesy weapons grade balonium.
Yeah.
But let's talk about the game part, right? Because the game part, not so good.
I mean, it had potential, didn't it?
Well, the hit detection is just awful.
You mean, especially when you're dodging things.
The control is not good. I mean, you would think with just a basic, R-Type sprite shooter that they could pull something like that off, but they don't. They really don't. Everything is just very awkward and feels sluggish.
Yeah,
moves fast but feels sluggish. So I don't know how they pulled that off. The problem with this game is it's just not fun. When everything is said and done, you die so easily, and when you continue at the beginning of the stage. The only way to get through this game is to turn on infinite shields and then just, you know, go to town. Stuff like the forest section where you are dodging video stream, they don't have pixel representation of the trees. They're trying to say that you're flying, you know, it through the tree line, but they don't give you anything to actually dodge. You're supposed to dodge the film that is auto-scrolling on its own, and it becomes impossible.
That never works, does it?
They never got it to work well. Also, any section where you're flying through the tubes and you're avoiding the shields by pitching your ship left, right, whatever, not well done. You absolutely will just be going straight through the hole, no problem whatsoever, and still take a hit.
Yeah, it's real tough. And that could have been cool if they'd gotten it right.
Well, but no one would ever get to that point because the game is just overly difficult.
Yeah.
And it's difficult not because it's a hard game, but it's because it's programmed so poorly. So I
think they did the best they could. I mean, I've never played one of these games.
I don't.
Really?
Because why would have... The Laserdisc aspect of this game is non-existent. It's just the background image scrolling. So why could they not get the sprite part of it correct?
They never have in any of these games.
Well, I know, but why?
Even in like a game like the probably the best Laserdisc game as a playing game is probably Mach 3, and even it they had trouble with this sort of thing, hit detection. It must be real difficult. That's all I can guess. You know,
the other problem with this, right? Because you've got the bad hit detection, you've got all that going on. The next problem you run into is the scene transitions are horrible. They literally will switch between the scrolling Laserdisc video. You'll get to the end of this of its part, and it will just fade into the next scene. There's no clean transitions, which of course was a problem with all these type of games. I always felt, especially these type of games, they just didn't care. They were so worried about getting to market, so worried about putting something out there to grab the technology that they did rush jobs and ultimately had very poor games because of it, which led to the downfall of the experience.
I'm going to disagree with you a little bit there. I think they actually tried on this. Now, I should mention, this was a board replacement or a swap for Mach 3. So this could actually be put into a Mach 3 cabinet, which, you know, that you use the same controls, exact same controls that Mach 3 does for the obvious reason. I think they went for something here. You know, me and Boat just covered a game on our Halloween special on Amigas. It was a Halloween-based game. It was Horror Zombies from Beyond the Crypt. They went for this sort of a 50s monster movie feel, and they think that's what they were going for here, sort of a cheesy alien feel, like a real cheesy Independence Day, you know, something like that, like something you'd see in the 50s. And I think that they sort of got that down. And I mean, let's face facts, when you judge these things on the gameplay, they're never that good when they try this sort of thing. So, I mean, I can't sit here and defend it. You know, I could see what they were trying to do. I think they cared. I mean, they even put in there's even little funny scenes when you fly through scenes. There's the American Gothic Farmers. My favorite is the picnic scene, where you fly over these picnickers at this picnic table, and they all run off, and then they show a scene at the end of the level where the dog from the family is sitting there eating all the food on the table. Yeah. That was pretty funny. Yeah. You know, so they put some funny stuff in here to make it lighthearted. But, I mean, I just think they were hampered by the limited abilities that a Laserdisc game could get you in 84. I don't know if they could do better now. I mean, I think the hit detection got better. in the American Laser games, you know, but I'm not 100% sure. But yeah, this is a game. I think this was a very ambitious title that they just couldn't pull off.
Okay. I mean, you're right to think that, but I don't agree. I don't. I think this was all rushed to market to try to cash in.
Well, I looked at the manual for this. It's a robust manual. It's the arcade manual. I don't know, just something about this, especially when you get the guy from Qbert involved. I mean, I don't think that guy would want to attach himself to a dud after coming off something good, you know? So, but, you know, hey, what are you going to do? I guess it goes without saying this is a fairly rare game. It's not one you see every day. In fact, I've never seen one. Have you ever seen one of these in the arcade?
Oh, no, not in person, no.
Yeah. It sort of became infamous, you know, on the internet just because of its cheesery, you know, but it's not the worst title I've ever played, but it's certainly not the best. Again, I think this is a step below Mach 3 in terms of the fun factor.
Absolutely.
But, yeah, but I'll give them a credit for at least giving it a whirl. We did not get any, we got a review, but it somehow disappeared, so we don't have any reviews for this. I will say I did look this up on eBay to see if I could get any action on it. And believe it or not, there's no one selling one of these right now. But I did see someone that just recently sold the laser disc by itself. I think that's all you need to swap this into a Mach 3, I think. The laser disc untested sold for $170. So, and these laser discs are old, and they suffer laser rot. So someone was taking a big chance when they went for this one, the Brent. But there you go. An interesting title, not probably the best, but hey, it's LaserDisc, what are you going to do? So there you go. What do you bring to the table this week?
I dug deep, Aaron.
Yes.
I searched for something, we've done this topic two times before, and I wanted to bring something to the table that the general public might have known about, but didn't quite know the history of. And that's why I went with the 1992 classic, I'm Your Man.
Now, you're going to have to explain this to people, because I want an explanation for this. You're telling me this was an arcade game at some point.
No, I'm telling you this was a LaserDisc game. I didn't say it was an arcade game.
Explain yourself.
I'm Your Man is a 1992 film that was released in the Lowe's Theater with interactive cinema technology. This is not the first time this has been done. It's the first time it was done in America. But and the previous attempts were way back, like the 1960s, where they kind of played around with switching film reels around. This is something completely different. This was made using LaserDisc because LaserDisc could switch between scenes fast enough to actually keep up with demand. So what is this? This is a interactive movie that you go to the theater and it's a big co-op video game. You have scenes of a movie that play out. There's an arch, you know, that ties everything together, but you choose how the movie plays. And you do that with a joystick that has three buttons on it, and you are voting which path you want the movie to go down. And normally, you are picking between three different people, the three main actors in the film, and their names are Jack, Leslie, and Richard. Richard is your villain. Leslie is your, not really a damsel in distress, but really it's all centered around Leslie and her actions. And then Jack is kind of the odd man out. He doesn't fit into the plot. He is kind of thrust into the plot. And the plot of this is Leslie has gotten information that will take down this corporation. And the corporation is trying to frame her for stealing all this money. And she has the proof that she didn't do it, but she knows who did, and it's Richard's company, and Richard is actually the villain. He's the one that actually planted this information and is trying to frame her for it. So as the game plays out and you go between these different people, the different scenes, you can see what perspective of the movie to see it from. If you follow one path all the way through, let's say you always pick Leslie, for example, you will see all of her plot points. And there are more decisions behind the show besides just who you're following. Sometimes you have to choose what path they take. So it's sort of like a choose-your-own-adventure book in that regard. But what made this a Laserdisc game, and it's the very interesting part of all this, is the interactive cinema part. Like I said before, this was played on a Laserdisc, and the theater was fitted with these joysticks with buttons on top, and the whole audience would vote on which path would go. And whoever would get the most vote, the Laserdisc would switch to that scene. Very clever technology. I will say it was sort of ahead of its time, but this was the first big test of it, and the test did not go well. They said that to retrofit the theater with all of the equipment, all the joysticks, all the Laserdisc technology, cost about $70,000. And then the movie itself, they spent about $370,000 for the filming and whatnot. And this had some, would you call them big names? I don't know, but they were well-established actors.
Is the bad guy in this the guy that was in We're Not Gonna Take It music video? He looked like him.
Well, the bad guy is Mark McCaff, and yeah. He is probably most famous for being the master in Buffy the Vampire Slayer, which actually came after this. But he had done many things before he was on Star Trek. Voyager, Teen Angel, Melrose Place, Walker Texas Ranger. You know, he has a huge list of credits on IMDb. Kevin Seal was probably the most famous when this actually came out. He was a DJ on MTV. And that's VJ. Where he really... Yeah, a VJ, sorry. So that's where he got his thing. But he actually went on to have a pretty decent career, too. He is by far the best actor in this. He has a ton of energy on screen. And then you have Colin Quinn, who plays Leslie. Her career fizzled out pretty quickly. She had very small supporting roles in many other things, probably most famous for a TV series called Loving, which she performed, was a starring role in. So... my big question for you, Aaron,
yes,
is, first of all, did you enjoy this Laserdisc experience?
I did.
Okay. Second, do you feel like this is a game? And if you do, do you feel like it was a co-op game, being one of the only, maybe the only laser co-op game ever to exist?
What do you mean by co-op?
Well, you have to think. When you're in the theater, you're playing along with everyone else.
So yeah, is it the majority rules, that sort of thing?
Yes, absolutely.
So here's the thing. This is an interactive movie, all right, pure and simple. Now, this reminded me, it's funny because this is No Great Shakes now because of what Netflix has done. If you played Bandersnatch, and I just played with Luke, they just had Undertaker Halloween movie. With the New Day in it, and it's another one where you pick which path you want. It's exactly like this. So it's funny that now what is this 2021? So it took 23 years for this to sort of become more mainstream. But if you've played those Netflix movies, Bandersnatch or The Undertaker, they're exactly like this. I mean, exactly like it. Complete with seeing some of the scenes twice. You know, I mean, it's unbelievable. You could put this on that same Netflix. It would work perfectly. It's ready to go. I don't think they will. But, you know, I'm sure this is lost the time.
Well, I want to show you something, Aaron.
Yeah.
I, using money from our incredible Patreons, was able to get the I'm Your Man. Now, this isn't the Laserdisc, obviously. This is the DVD home release. Six large on this, Aaron. Six large. But I am now the proud owner of an I'm Your Man DVD.
That cost you $6? Dollar bill?
It cost
US
me
dollars?
Six large. That's right.
That's not bad. That's not bad. Now, what spurned you? Because, I mean, this is before you found the ability to play this online, I'm assuming.
It is, yes.
Yeah. So, did you get to try the DVD?
But no. I am happy. I am happy to be able to say that I own I'm Your Man, the finest LaserDisc interactive movie, I do believe.
No. First of all, I have not seen any proof. I mean, you say this is a LaserDisc, but I mean, you can't. Can you buy the? If you bought the LaserDisc, do you have something there? This wasn't, but I will. I'm going to give you
a
pass.
No, this was a LaserDisc. This was absolutely a LaserDisc.
I'm going to give you a pass on this, and I'll tell you why, because I'm sure some people are stunned. Because this is what it says it is, right? Us versus Them says it's a space shooter with us versus aliens. Well, it's not really. It's not that good. It doesn't do a very good job. I'm Your Man says, listen, this is an interactive film, and it is. You pick who you want to back. And here's some things I like about it. Because I know you were probably like, well, Aaron didn't even fool with this. No. I spent some time with it. You can back the bad guy, which is great. He's this scene-chewingest guy in the movie.
Yes.
And so you can back him, and it's real funny. The geek that's in it, the girl crazy geek that's in it, he had the best ending of anybody, which I liked his ending, where they all congratulate him. The president calls him, all that stuff. Funny. The acting in this ranges from no good. So, like, some of the background actors are horrible.
Yes.
But the three main actors, there's just enough cheese with their hilarity that it works. This is another thing, much like the last one, they weren't trying to, like, this isn't, a top-tier drama. This is sort of a fun thing.
Yes.
Now, if I had paid to go see this in a theater, I would not be happy.
No. I think I can make you happy.
All right.
I think I can make... The way they did this was you pay... Because the whole thing, beginning to end, runs about 20 minutes.
Yeah, that's my point.
Okay? But if you paid for your tickets back in 1992... It was $3, and they allowed you to stay for as many showings as you wanted. So you could literally spend all day in the theater, $3, probably see every path there was to take.
I can see why this didn't do well in the theater, because the business model for this is dumb.
Now, wait a minute. Did it do well? No. But I'll get into a little bit of that.
Uh-huh.
The reason why it did so poorly, it might surprise you.
Okay.
This tested very well, especially among teenagers. They really enjoyed the technology. The movie was kind of whatever. That wasn't important to them. But it tested very well. However, it tested very poorly with adults. And the reason why is they said in the control groups when they were watching this, teenagers would run around and press the buttons on all the unoccupied seats to get their vote over. So the parents felt like they were getting cheated out of their vote. So it wasn't actually the technology that they necessarily had a problem with. It was the implementation of that technology. Now, the movie itself was described as very B-tier, childish.
Yes,
however,
I agree.
On the packaging, a quote from the Daily Variety says, "Love connection, let's make a deal, and the Rocky Horror Picture Show all rolled into one."
No, that's no. It's none of those. It's nowhere in the same. It's not in the same stratosphere as Rocky Horror Picture Show. I can tell you that right now, because that's got musical numbers and stuff in it at a big budget. But I mean, listen, you're not going to get that kind of. Who said that? Whoever said that's an idiot.
That was
thumbs down.
The Daily Variety.
Wow. That's clearly that was hype, because that's not what this is. But what this is. Listen, when this thing starts, I was like, this is crap. I mean, I'll admit it. I panned it early. But you have to, and the story is stupid. Yeah. That's all, but all that's irrelevant. What you stay for is the wacky acting and the ludicrousness of the story. Like, did you get to the part where the woman has the good and the bad version of herself on her own shoulders?
Yes. Yep.
So you can actually turn the chick heel if you want halfway through it.
She gets mad at you for it.
And the funny thing, and she had just maced, by the way, she has ladies' mace in this can, and she had just maced the bad guy. And so now she's coming on to him. He's like, didn't you just mace me? And then she's like, yeah. You know, and sometimes, here's something else I like. The characters break the third wall all the time.
Yeah.
Like, when you turn the chick bad, she goes, oh, so now you're making me a bad girl, are you? You're like, yeah. You know, sometimes they, at the end, when you pick the ending, they'll beg for their ending. Come on, dude, give me a break, you know. They also, when you, occasionally the bad guy will be like, yeah, that's the way you do it. Good job. Yeah. You know, so they actually talk to you.
He threatens the audience.
Yeah,
he threatens
many times.
To blow up the theater and crap like that.
Also, he threatens to shock you. When he says he holds a circuit breaker up. It's huge. He goes, make your decision quickly. This is heavy. I was like,
yeah.
See, that kind of humor. Listen, I'm a sucker for obscure, idiot type. I mean, real out of left field stuff. And this had that in spades.
Yeah.
So for me, despite everything in my body is screaming, no, 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 I give this the thumbs up. I actually enjoyed it. And I will say the interactivity is part of the fun. So,
absolutely.
I mean, if you were just watching this as a film, no, absolutely no. But the fact that you get to pick the path, and I picked a bunch of paths.
Yeah.
And, I mean, some of them wind back into themselves.
Oh,
they all do eventually.
They all wind back into themselves.
But, I mean, you get in some pretty weird situations that you don't, that you wouldn't see. And I will say the webpage you found made, because at first I just watched it straight through. You know,
no
and
fun.
I was like, this lame. But you actually have to play it to make it more fun.
Yeah,
so,
and we will provide that link. There is a webpage out there that has the complete movie with its interactive elements that you get to choose the paths. Aaron, this was shot on 16mm Kodak film and then transferred to Laserdisc because of the Laserdisc technology to be able to switch the scene so quickly.
Yeah.
And of course, they had to pay for all that equipment to retrofit the theater with. Unfortunately, since we're not all picking our movie paths in the theaters today, the technology did not catch on and was ultimately ruled a failure, removed from the theater in 1994, just 2 years after the release of the film. The I'm Your Man DVD has some trailers for some other games that they were going to do. One was a over-the-top kind of cheese adventure, and then one was a more serious murder mystery type feel. Unfortunately, I'm unaware that they were ever released in any form, so I think those were just a loss to time. However, I'm happy, Aaron, that you saw this for what it was. One of, if not the best, Laserdisc games to ever exist.
Well, I mean, again, that's a stretch. This is an interactive movie. There's not, but I mean, I guess it's sort of kind of like a game. This would be fun to do on like Discord one night, just to get everybody in there and let them vote, and then just pick the different scenes. That'd be kind of fun. We might have to try that sometime with this. I don't know if, and again, if you haven't tried, it's funny. I've seen Bandersnatch, and I did the Undertaker video, and I think I like this one more than, well, I certainly liked it more than The Undertaker. And Bandersnatch, it got kind of weird. This is just lighthearted and fun. And so it actually suits the technology quite nicely, in my opinion. I wish it was a little longer, but yeah. Thumbs up to this. I'm guessing you got no reviews on this.
That's not true.
What?
Terry, my loving wife, did do a review on this. She gave it a 6 out of 10. commenting that she liked that she could turn Jack, kind of the bubbling womanizer, into a 007 secret agent James Bond type at one point in the film. She said she really enjoyed that and liked being able to take that path. So there you go. 6 out of 10 from Terry Howard.
And what did you end up paying for that disc? One more time, what was that much?
Six large.
Six was it large. Hard? Are there plenty of those available? I'm guessing there are.
There are, yes. They are in fairly adequate supply.
I see. So there you go. So that is I'm Your Man. You know, but before we, and this is probably the last time we'll ever cover laser discs on the channel in case something comes
sure
up.
Sure thought that before.
Yeah. So if you let's take I'm Your Man out of this.
All right.
What is, in your opinion, the most fun, most playable LaserDisc game ever released? Let's just get it out there.
Wow. I mean, I have to say Dragon Slayer just because I'm so familiar with it.
Yeah. I thought you might go with something like Super Don Quixote or something along or like
no,
Cobra
there are
Command.
There are. I mean, it all comes down to I'm familiar enough with Dragon Slayer now that I can't get through the game every time, but I can get very far, which other interactive movie games I can't. Yeah. And the overlay games were pretty much all horrible. Mach 3 was the best of the bunch, but that didn't make it good.
I will say, I'd be interested in the chat, if you guys have any, you know, if you get a second, pop in your favorite LaserDisc games, and if you're watching this on YouTube, leave a comment below. I'd be interested, I'd like to see a show of hands on the favorite. I'm sort of torn, you know, Dragon's Lair was one of the first ones, and it played fair with what you had to offer, and it was a good game, and of course, it had all the great animation and sound.
Yeah.
I'd say that in Mach 3 or at the top of my list, too. It's a shame that Us versus Them just didn't quite get the actual gameplay down. A fun, interesting game. We like laser discs. They were a goofy technology for a goofy time, and the goofy time came and gone. Here's something else that's goofy, Brent. Aside from your outfit, my friend, you know what that is.
How dare you insult Weird Al that way?
Listen, did your wife have a look at you before the show started?
I don't want to talk about
it. I don't think you get a 6 out of 10 for that, my friend. Let's spin this wheel, my God. Good God. So, Brent, if you'll recall last week, we drew what this was, which was the Retro Rewind piece sponsored by our new buddies over at RetroRewind.ca.
Absolutely.
Retro Rewind, a great place to grab all your Commodore machine goodies. Do you need a cap kit? They got them. Do you need a cartridge? Do you need one of these fast loan cartridges? They got Kung Fu Flash, brother, coming out the yin yang. Do you need anything involving a Commodore computer? Frank over at Retro Rewind will set you up. That's RetroRewind.ca. Keep in mind, if you use the promo code for this very show, bam, it's ARG10. Save 10% off, brother. That's free money in your pocket.
Absolutely.
Go ahead, the Brent. With your, I'm sure Frank's really enjoying your endorsement in that outfit.
Go there today.
Yeah.
Their website, so easy to navigate. If you are looking for something in the cap kit variety or a chip puller, or even go there and get yourself a nice shirt. I actually really dig the Retro Rewind logo, and it fits on more than just the store, which that's doubly good. But yeah, the code works for everything. ARG10, 10% off. I mean, why not, right?
There you go. Why not? A ringing endorsement. And by the way, I don't think I'm going to step on anyone's toes when I say that Zorro fully endorses Frank at RetroRewind.ca. All right, now let's get to this wheel, Brent. This week, we only had to add one piece, and that was a Retro Rewind piece. And so we have added, what did we add? Oh, with Dick Smith, System 80, Brent. The System 80. I've been wanting to get back into
Smith
System 80.
We need to double up, Aaron.
Yeah.
Channel the power of RetroRewind.ca and get us some Dick Smith going on.
All right, here we go, everybody. Ho! It's a good spin this week. And the winner is... Oh, we came so close. We came so close. But we've spun the... Oh, the ComX 35.
Oh, no.
The
ComX 35. Oh, no. What is that?
This was suggested to us by Pajaco. Pajaco's done it to us again, Brent.
Well, at least we know who to blame.
What's the ComX 625? You want to clue us in on that?
I don't have a clue.
Well, we're playing it. The ComX 625. Anyone know what this thing is? I'm sorry. That's ComX 35. There's no 6 in there. That shows you how much I know about the ComX, the Brent. Brent, any announcements you want to make here on the last part of the Halloween special before we take it to the house?
Absolutely. For those in the U.S., we are falling back an hour. Next week. So we will still be on at 10 a.m., but 10 a.m. is going to be an hour later for all those anywhere else in the world.
That's right. That's a good announcement there, the Brit. Well, why don't we talk about what's going down on Friday, the 26th of November, Brit? It's all going to happen when we have Thanksgiving, the Thanksgiving Marathon back again. Tell them about it.
Yes. Starting at 10 a.m. EST, we will be going for 8 fantastic hours of nonstop Thanksgiving action. We will be together in the Amigo Studio East.
Correct.
And we will, huh?
Yes, we will.
Yeah. And we will be live, as they say. So be sure to join us for that. This is not. A stream to try to get your money. In fact, it is a thank you for all the money that you give across all the shows and to the incredible charity at the Amigathon.
Yes, and I want to mention the Amigathon. You know, we had a massive year this year, and yes. it was such a massive success that we were actually contacted by the people over at the charity who are going. They're featuring a lot of the high earners on the front page of Twitch on Wednesday. And so myself and the boat are doing a special Wednesday edition of the Amigos, Everything Amiga podcast. Britt, you know what we're doing? We're doing Metal Gear, dude.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Metal Gear. Oh, yeah, I know, man. So it's going to be a happening. So if you get a chance to pop over and say hi or catch the show, it'll be Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Again, we'll be back here at 10 a.m. next week. We'll be taking on the ComX 35. This should be a treat. Listen, I hope everyone out there has a safe and enjoyable Halloween. Take the youngins out, get them some candy, and make sure if no one gives you the candy, bam, listen to Zorro, give them the old Z in the butt treatment. That's the way we do it at the Hacienda. Until next week, happy Halloween, everybody.
Thanks for joining us today. We really hope you enjoyed the show. Special thank you to Duncan Styles for our vector style graphics and Bartbit for our amazing music. Would you like to help keep ARG spinning? You can do so at patreon.com/ARGpresents. Just like these fine folks. Rollo, Olaf Hope, Paul, Terry Howard, Gary Heather, John Schaller, The Slow Norris, Frodo NL, Chris Poles, Mitsuyama, Jason Warnes, Rob Black O'Hara, Andy Craig, Andy Jones, Kevin Bean, Pachaco 6502, Anthony Jarvis, Steve Rathmussen, Bernhard Lucas, Dave Velociraptor, Graham W. Vetke, Roushi, Mr. B, David Terrence, Super Tech Boy, Orom, Sundown, Texas Foosballer, Air Shack, Retroalgae, John Dykeman, Jerry Dennington, Z9K9, and Mario Ramey. They all have access to our Discord channel and their names put and called out in the credits. Why don't you? If you have an idea for a wheel piece, you can email us at argpresents@mail.com. Be sure to visit our sponsor, retrorewind.ca, and use promo code ARG10 to get 10% off your order. We film live every Sunday, 10 a.m. EDT. Hope to see you there.